Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Gallows of Geekdom podcast. I am one of your hosts, Crystal Williams. My pronouns are she, her, and I'm joined by my equally lovely, amazing, talented co-host, Ashley.
Hi, everybody. I'm Ashley. Pronouns are she, they. Thank you for having me on again, Crystal. It's always nice being on.
Yes, it's always nice being in this little space that we have. And now we're going to play a fun game, Fight to the Death. Are you ready?
You win.
It's a Saw trap.
Speaking of Saw, I am really looking forward to seeing that new Saw movie.
Not because I'm expecting it
to be a great movie or anything, but because, like, I always have fun with this franchise, is all I'm saying.
Oh, I've only seen the first two, so I have no expectations.
Oh, Jazzy and I will take you on a journey.
I gotta go through three for the rest of them, and Spiral.
But, actually, you say you saw the first two,
Yeah.
From what I understand, this newest one takes place between 2 and 3.
So technically, lucky, chronologically, I could watch it next.
So, lucky you.
I could watch it next chronologically.
Yes, you could. I like to call this newest one Socks. Socks. Socks.
Cute. I love it. Was the ending of the movie just him in comfy socks going,
yes,
I did the thing.
Game over.
He has to
end the film with game over. That's a fucking rule. That's how Saw works. You have to end the movie with game over.
Wait, who is a game over? Why is he gay? And does he move things?
Oh. Well, you know, it's up for interpretation. It's up for interpretation. Okay.
All right. I like that Tobin Bell is back in it.
Yes, he is. They finally got him back after his absence in Spiral.
Right.
And I am looking forward to it because, let's be honest with ourselves, he was the glue that held that franchise together.
Well, I mean, he did give great performance.
He did. I mean, the writing for him is kind of weird sometimes. like for example, his idea that, oh, I'm not really killing anyone. Yeah, you are. You are killing people. You absolutely 100% are killing people. Like, can we not pretend that he's doing anything other than killing people? I hate that.
Well, you know.
I'm sorry.
You know.
Sorry for that mini rant. I just don't like that aspect of the franchise.
Well, he didn't kill the people. The giant traps that just happen to be over there are the ones who put them
in the traps, Smarty? Hmm?
Not him. Other people did.
Well, other people that were working for him.
Yeah, but that's a technicality.
Yeah, well, a technicality that still got Charles Manson in jail. Because technically, Charles Manson didn't kill anybody. His followers did.
Wait a minute.
But he still ended up in jail.
Are you saying on the podcast that your official stance is that Charles Manson didn't kill anybody?
No. But yeah, I'm saying that he physically didn't do any of the killing. But he is still behind the murders.
What if I just edit what you're saying now to make it seem like you?
If you do that, I will leave this podcast. So you better not do that. Crystal.
Yeah. Oh, fine.
Gosh. Thank you.
Take all the fun out of things.
It's what I do. What other upcoming movies are there. Have you seen any trailers Have you seen any trailers for The Creator?
Yeah, I saw one a while ago, and
that looks fun.
Looks interesting. I have no.
I'm always up for some sci-fi, some original sci-fi.
That is nice.
And that's also what we're getting from Zack Snyder at the end of this year, wrote with Rebel Moon.
Yep, that thing exists.
Shut up. You know what's interesting? I'll always find this interesting because Rebel Moon started as a Star Wars pitch that Zack Snyder pitched to Disney.
Yeah.
And Disney turned it down because it didn't have any pre-existing Star Wars characters.
Mm-hmm.
So Zack Snyder just thought, fuck it, I'm just going to make it my own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And thus, Rebel Moon was born. That trailer I saw looked pretty good.
Sure.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, I know you disagree, okay?
No, I'm not trying to be mean. I watched it and I'm just like, you know.
Well, you have a bias. I have a bias. The opposite direction.
We all have a bias. I don't know. It's just nothing really like stood out to me, excited me. But I'm glad other people are gonna find enjoyment. I might see the movie, might not. The last time I tried to enjoy a Snyder movie was Army of the Dead, and that was terrible, so.
Okay, I lied about earlier. Like, I'm gonna leave the podcast now. Sorry, bye-bye.
I'm sorry, that movie was bad.
Yeah, now you're wrong, sorry.
No, I'm right.
No, you're wrong, I'm sorry. I'm not saying it's great, but terrible? Come on.
Yeah, it was bad.
No, it wasn't. You can be wrong all you want, okay? It's your podcast. But you can be wrong all you want.
It was an hour way too long and lost any fun and interest it had in it.
You know, one interesting thing about...
The most disappointing thing I had about that movie, though, is just like, you have like such a fun idea for a goofy idea for a zombie movie. Let's do Ocean's 11 with zombies, right? There's a great idea there. But it's, of course, an hour too long and it takes itself way too seriously. And it just killed any fun idea that it had. It should have been an hour and a half fun romp trying to do Ocean's 11 with zombies, and it wasn't that. It was just, like, annoying.
Hey, look, I disagree with it, but even then, I'll admit that I did want more out of the movie. Like, I think I gave it like a 6 out of 10 on Letterboxd, but I will admit that, yes, I did want more out of the movie.
I like the intro.
The Richard Cheese cover of Viva Las Vegas was really fun.
I honestly think that should have been the tone for the movie. He was almost there, and then he's just like, but my movies can't be, like, fun, so we have to make it darker. And I'm just like, oh, God.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know. I disagree with that, but whatever.
No, that's fair. Everyone has their own opinions on things.
Like, you know me. I just think that he's way too overhated. And it just seems to me that, like, everyone jumps on the bandwagon to hate him just because everyone else is doing it.
I mean, I gave the movie a chance, and it sucks, so.
Nah, now you're wrong.
I am never wrong, Ash. When have I ever been wrong, ever? I'm always right, 100% of the time.
Okay, you want me to break out the list? You want me to break out the list? Okay. First! Never mind. Okay, what else do we have to look forward to? I know Bottoms is expanding its reach in theaters. I'm hoping it'll play near me. because it looks really fun.
I really do hope there's a lot of bottoms near us.
Obvious joke is obvious.
But a good joke is good.
No. It was too obvious. It was too easy. Much like the bottoms.
Like bottoms. It looks
much
good.
Like
it was
the titular
fun.
Bottoms.
It got good reviews. People seem to like it. It's also gay.
Yeah, I'm down for anything gay. Speaking of gay, one thing I do want to mention really quickly is that Jazzy finished showing me The Owl House, and I fucking loved it.
Let's talk Owl House. What'd you think? So you loved it, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it was so good.
It really was.
It was, like, emotional and interesting.
Yeah, Luce
is
such a sweetheart. I love her.
Our bi heroine.
Yes. Yeah. Which, by the way, I'm so happy to see some bi rep in cartoons.
Yeah. Exactly.
Being a bi myself.
Wow. Bye, bye, bye.
Bye. Yeah, but I really enjoyed it.
I'm glad. I like the characters. I like the world. I thought the voice acting was great. It was funny. It was very sweet and very moving.
Yeah. My favorite character is probably Ida.
She is a ball of chaos and love.
Yes, absolutely.
I like King's arc, too.
Oh, yes. How could I forget to mention King? He is just a king.
Yes. Voiced by Alex Hirsch.
Hootie was also voiced by Alex Hirsch.
Yes, with the amazingly, totally not annoying voice.
I mean, in a positive way.
It's very funny.
I'm sure you've seen it, but Jazzy does, like, a spot-on Hootie. It's amazing how well she does that.
Hootie's a fun one.
Yes. He certainly is! But yeah. Owl House, good. That is my main point. Yes. And fuck you, Disney, for screwing it over.
Add that to the list of animated shows about queerness.
That Disney has screwed over.
Well, that a lot of studios screw over.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely put Owl House in the same category as, like, you know, She-Ra or Steven Universe or...
Yeah. I feel like with regards to She-Ra that Endy and his crew wanted to do more, but Netflix was kind of putting pressure on the fifth season to be the last one. So they're just like, ah, fuck it. We're going to end it here.
Yeah, but it did resolve it fairly well, so there's no...
I mean, like, yeah, but I feel like things wrapped up, like, a little too neatly. Like, if that makes any sense.
Right.
Like, I still liked it. I still really liked it, but I just feel like it wrapped up too neatly.
Like, there should have been another season?
Yes.
But, like, you know, they can only do so much.
Yeah, I know. It's a shame because She-Ra was really, really great.
Yeah, She-Ra was, what's that other show called? That show also, there's another show that had a gay main character in it, too.
Let me tell you.
It's a Netflix original.
You're going to have to be more specific.
Netflix original animated show. Now I'm blanking.
Oh, couldn't tell you. Yeah, it's a shame She-Ra ended what it did, because what I would have really liked to see is them interacting with the He-Man side of the Masters of the Universe franchise.
Well, maybe they,
seeing as how Adam is Adora's brother.
Well, now I remember the name of the show. It's Kipo. Kipo and the Age of the Wonder Beasts. There we go.
Oh, yeah, Jazzy was talking to me about that.
That show's good, too.
Cool.
I'm sorry. My brain was like, it was some, like, magical name, but I couldn't.
Trying to figure it out.
Yeah, it was And then I trusted old trusty Google.
As long as I'm still talking about She-Ra, I have to ask you, have you seen Nimona?
Yes.
Yes,
I like Nimona. Yeah.
You just like it? Okay.
No. I thought it was great.
Good.
I don't mean I just like it. I just mean that I liked it a lot.
No,
it
was just
really good.
The way in which you said it made it seem like, I liked it. It was all right.
Oh. No, I was just trying to quickly answer your question because I was just like, okay. Oh, yeah.
Well, I currently have it as my favorite film of the year, but I don't think it's the best movie of the year, if that makes any sense.
Right.
Like, it just means the most to me personally.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's one movie that we can all agree on that was way better, and that was The Flash.
Okay, here's the thing with The Flash. Like, The Flash, like, okay. Let me just say that as a movie, The Flash is decent. It's a decent movie.
I agree.
But the thing is, visually, it looks like garbage.
It looks like straight garbage. It looks like they
garbage.
Use pre-viz shots for like half the movie. And like what sucks is because there's a good movie underneath it, you know. Or at least
well, I mean, again,
one,
I do think know? It's a good, I do think it's a good movie, but the thing is, it's just this would have been the
like
shit back
garbage.
In like 2005. But it's 2023.
Yeah,
it's 2023, and we're releasing movies that look like this. Whatever.
So annoying.
It is annoying. But again, I liked the movie for the most part. Like I think I gave it like a 6 out of 10.
It's just
that
Warner Brothers shouldn't have released an unfinished movie.
Although I will say, Blue Beetle. That's pretty freaking good.
I heard it's pretty good.
It is. You should check it out.
When I get a chance, I will see it. I like the character, so I was interested in the movie, you know.
Blue
so
Beetle
I will
was
definitely
good.
Check it out when I can. I'm still on my way of catching up. Like, I was a few weeks behind when I saw Oppenheimer.
Oh, yes. That brings us to Oppenheimer, which I do think is the best movie of 2023 so far.
I think for me, it's Barbie and Oppenheimer are like neck and neck because they're two very different types of movies. So I consider them like equal at different like levels. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You know, I actually recently, I rewatched Barbie yesterday and like, I think I like it more upon rewatch than I did before. Because if you remember initially, I gave Barbie like an 8 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
But then I watched it again, and I'm liking it more and more. And then I watched it again yesterday, and I'm just like, this movie is so funny. It's so good.
So funny. Like, it's so good. It's so emotional.
But probably my favorite aspect of the film was Ryan Gosling's performance as Beach Ken.
He does beach.
He just does beach.
We're going to do a little bit of spoiler time for Barbie, but I think everyone's seen Barbie at this point. So I think it's,
it's
good...
now the highest grossing movie of the year.
Yes, it is. And I knew it. I was telling my coworkers, I was just like, I have a feeling that Barbie's going to be the biggest movie of 23. And they're like, nah. And then I was right. So,
well, you know, I don't think it would have been the biggest movie of the year had it not been for the whole Barbenheimer phenomenon. Because the thing with that is, like, with Oppenheimer, like, it got some of the Barbie audience, and Barbie got some of the Oppenheimer audience. Because there were people who were wanting to see them both.
Yeah, there were a lot of adults, including me.
Oh, yes.
And both were great.
Both were great, absolutely. Jazzy recently saw Oppenheimer herself, and she was telling me that she unfortunately didn't get to see it in IMAX, but she tells me that she probably would have panicked when the Trinity test happened, because, and I don't blame her, because that scene is fucking intense.
That is intense. I was sitting going, oh gosh.
Like even though we all knew it was going to happen, like my palms were sweating, my hands were shaking. I'm serious.
Knees weak, arms are heavy.
I know. Mom's spaghetti, blah, blah, blah.
Mom's spaghetti.
Mom's spaghetti. Snap back to reality. Oh, there goes gravity.
Yeah, quite literally gravity.
Exactly. But yeah, it's very possible. It's very possible that Oppenheimer might be on its way to making $1 billion, which is amazing.
That is crazy.
Yeah, and well, right now it just surpassed Inception to become Nolan's highest grossing non-Batman film.
Yeah. Wild.
Which, again, is crazy to think about. Because this, I must stress again, this is a 3-hour-long biopic. Like, half of it is in black and white, and it's mostly dudes sitting in rooms talking.
Yeah, and it's rated R.
Yeah, and it's rated R, and it might just make $1 billion.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah. We are so back, is what I'm trying to say.
That was a great weekend for film.
Oh, yes.
Both movies will satisfy both parts of the film brain.
I have to ask.
Yes.
Have you seen Past Lives?
No. Not yet.
I think it's about to hit digital soon. Check that out when you can. It was really good.
They played it at the theater I worked at. I just didn't see it.
That's a shame. But
when
you get a chance, check it out on digital, because it will make you feel the feels. That's all I'll say.
I watched the trailer and I can already tell.
Oh yeah. It was great.
No, it definitely looked really good. I wanted to see it. That's on my list. There's a lot of movies on my list. I just work so often that it's hard to find time, which is surprising because I work at a movie theater. But I do get to see movies in theaters that I didn't before. So I saw Barbie and Oppenheimer. So that's cool. Barbie I saw Saturday of the opening weekend. And I saw that because I knew that people would be spoiling it like immediately, you know?
Yeah. So
I wanted to kind of see it before, like, I got like half the jokes ruined. For me. Now whenever I'm work and I hear like Push by Matchbox when it comes on, I laugh.
You know, I've been listening to the Barbie soundtrack a lot.
I wanna push you around where I will.
Yeah. The ones I have on repeat are Dance the Night by Dua Lipa and I'm Just Ken.
I'm just Ken.
Anywhere else I'd be, it's in. Oh my god!
Even like the Charlie XCX song, the one when they're chasing her.
Yes, that's right.
That song slaps.
Yeah, but
when I laugh at the existential dread version of the Pink song, P panic.
I'm scared. N nauseous. Hey, death.
I felt that way.
Yeah, but I'll say it again, like, his performance as Beach Ken is one of my favorite comedic performances of the last decade.
Oh, he's so good. Mm-hmm. He's so good. Even Will Ferrell is great. Like, watching that scene when I was like doing like stuff at my work. Just I'd stand in the back while that scene was going on because I have to like count how many people are sitting in the theater. I just listened to like the way that Will Ferrell delivers that whole line about like we had a woman CEO in the 90s. And then he says, one of my best friends is Jewish.
Yeah. Well, before that, he's like, we had a
woman I am CEO the, in the I, 90s. I am the son of a mother. I am the mother of a son, right? Right?
Yes.
Doesn't he say that?
Yeah, he does. But he also says, like, after he says, like, we had a woman CEO in the 90s, and then he's like, we had another at some other point in time.
Will Ferrell kills that scene. He's very good. But yes, Ryan Gosling definitely steals a lot of that movie.
And yes, as trans women, we have to love Hari Neff as Dr. Barbie.
Just one of my favorite line readings on the whole movie.
Flat feet! Is it that one?
It's flat feet!
Oh, boy.
Makes it even funnier that it's the doctor who says it.
Flat feet! Oh, boy. Well, she's stunning, isn't she?
Yes, yes, very much so.
Yeah, yeah, we're all thinking it. We're all thinking it.
Shit, I'm gay. I mean, in addition to all the other pretty ladies that are in the movie, too, but still.
But, yes.
That movie is having is a short. I'm attractive people.
Yes. Having a doll as a doll.
Yes.
All right. What else? And, you saw Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. Yeah.
I did. That was really good. It was very sweet.
You know, funnily enough, I never actually read the book.
Me either.
Like I knew what the book was about, but I went into the movie not having read the book.
Same.
And
I did watch the documentary about her, the author.
About Judy Blume.
Yeah, Judy Blume, yeah. There's an Amazon documentary about her. It was pretty good.
Cool.
If you want to, if you're interested in that.
How about Talk to Me? Have you seen Talk to Me?
Not yet. I want to, though. It looks scary.
Yeah, it's creepy as fuck.
That's good. I know I talk about my job a lot, but I have, this is a related topic, but I have that thing I told you where I have to go in and count how many people are in the theater. I'm guaranteed I scared the shit out of people watching Talk to Me when I walked in there. I walked in, cause you have to go in, you look quickly at the screen to make sure it's playing, but it's always fine. And then you look at the crowd and then you're supposed to actually count how many people are sitting in the theater just to like make sure that there's enough people, there's a head count and if people aren't doing any weird shit. But like it never happens. So you just go in and count. But then I like quickly looked around the corner and then I saw people look at me and like get startled. I was in my I need to get this job done quickly phase, and then a figure appearing in the corner scared the shit out of them, and I laughed on my way out, but I also felt kind of bad.
So here's something I think you already know, but I still want to bring it up anyway. That new Exorcist movie got pushed back a week to make room for, brace yourself, that Taylor Swift Eras Tour concert movie.
Yay!
What do you think about that?
What do I think about that? I think that it makes sense considering how many records that concert movie is currently breaking right now, and the fact that it's the Taylor movie is currently going to be ensuring that I still have my job.
Yeah. So yeah, Universal kind of saw the writing on the wall there. So they thought, you know what, we can push this back a week earlier. Like it'll be.
They're like, we can't fight with the Swifties.
Yeah, we're not going to do that. That'll be fighting a losing battle.
And I already have my IMAX tickets for that.
I'm sure you do.
Well, when you go to the concert, you know, when you sit in the nosebleeds, it's incredibly exciting to be there, but you can't like actually take in all the details of the actual show that's going on. You know what I mean? Like the things you'll miss. I mean, you can see the screens, but it's not the same as getting like all the little details put into the actual production. So as a fan, I'm excited to see it. Because I'll get to like see everything that like I missed, but also, yeah, it's oh, and I was at one of the shows that were filmed at, so I could be on the crowd shot, I guess.
Cool.
I saw the drones flying around filming it, so I was like,
well,
oh,
I hope I hope you and Lizzie waved them.
We were too busy scraving the lyrics to the songs and hugging each other while doing it.
Like I'm sure everyone else in the crowd was.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm two ways on this where I feel like I'm kind of surprised how well it's doing, but I'm also not that surprised because even before they announced this, I was kind of hoping they wouldn't put the movie. I knew they were filming the movie. And I knew they were filming it at the first two Los Angeles shows. I went on the second day of the Los Angeles ones, but, I knew they were filming it there. And I was just like, I was kind of like, I hope they don't like do the movie on one of the streaming platforms just for the fact that like, I think it would be better served going to a theater and probably would do better, than being dumped onto some streaming platform. And so I'm glad my instincts were correct. And apparently the reason that the whole thing happened, I don't want to say too much on the Taylor thing, but I do think it's really interesting in relation to the movie theater business that we're kind of currently having the conversations about. Apparently the only reason it's happening is the film was completely self-financed by Taylor and her team. Specifically, her father has mutual friends with some of the people who run AMC. And so they made the deal with AMC and Cinemark first. And then the other theaters kind of had to run because they didn't know that deal was happening. They had to run to play catch up to get it. And then it looks like it's turning out best for everybody. But, so I found that really interesting. Also, the whole film was filmed only after she had consulted with SAG and everyone to make sure that it was not crossing any sort of actual, like, picket lines or anything. It is completely SAG compliant.
Good.
Especially since it's an independent release. Yeah, it's completely independent release and doesn't go through any actual major studios.
Which is cool. Good.
So it's kind of like an entire... A good money put into an indie project, if that makes sense. if you could call it that, you know?
Yeah, I'm looking at the Wikipedia page, and it just goes through AMC Entertainment and Taylor Swift Productions.
So literally just her name.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Plus the theater chain.
Yeah, so I am very curious how that works with the other theaters getting the permissions to show it, because it's showing at Regal, it's showing at every major chain. So, I'm very curious how that happened, whether or not like they found out about the deal before it was technically announced and then contacted Taylor's team or company to get rights to start airing them at the same time, or if the deal was made with AMC and Cinemark first and then Taylor's production company went and reached out to the other theaters as in addition. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm curious about that. There's a lot of really interesting legal bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the movie theaters are also having popcorn buckets, so If you want your limited Taylor themed popcorn bucket, you can go there.
I will keep that in mind.
We'll keep that in mind.
But
well, sorry, I didn't want to get on another Taylor tangent. It did actually fit very well into our conversation about the film industry right now. Because it's a fascinating case study for sure. But I also, what did you want to switch into?
The movie coming out the following week.
The week before or the week after?
No, the week after.
Oh, the Scorsese movie.
Killers of the Flower Moon.
Terrors of the Flower Moon.
Oh my god. That trailer looks so fucking good. And it's already got like rave reviews, so I'm pumped for it.
I think I only saw the first trailer, so I'd have to watch that second trailer. But it is Scorsese, and he's a really good filmmaker, so I do have faith that he's going to make a good movie.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a Western, too. Westerns need a comeback. I love Westerns.
Yeah. I do love how the star, she said that Yellowstone...
Yes, she did.
Deeply offensive and like, yeah.
Like, yeah, and like she's getting backlash to it from mostly white dudes. And I'm like, well, I don't know. Maybe she knows more about it than you do. Have you considered that?
So my introduction to Yellowstone is really interesting. I watched the two prequel shows before trying to jump into the actual show. And the two prequel shows are like infinitely better than the actual show that it's based on. Like Yellowstone itself is like kind of garbage.
Oh yeah?
Like, it's so weird. It's like 1883 and 1923 do a fairly decent job of making characters you care about with like good enough reason and motivations for what they do, in addition to having indigenous characters, I'd say, treated fairly respectfully. I'm not going to say realistically, always, but I will say it's definitely decently done. And then you get into, like, Yellowstone, where it's set in modern day, and it's just, like, it's, like, trying to be the crime family Sopranos thing, but, like, with cowboys, and the characters that you're supposed to care about, that you kind of hope they all die. like, they're not, like... I can understand having shows where characters are bad people, like Breaking Bad, right? But those shows do well in, like, explaining their character dynamics. Yellowstone does not want you to know whether or not you're supposed to like the characters or, like, root for them or hate them. You know what I mean? Like, it flip-flops between the two concepts, and it almost makes it seem like the rich, white, privileged family that has money that's handed down from generations are somehow often the victims of other people trying to take their land. And then they have indigenous like characters, but then they have to make one of them also a bad guy who is like just as power hungry as everyone else. And it just feels really weird, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's very yicky. So what she says, I felt, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's right. And everyone complaining about it should shut up.
Let's see. What else? There's that new David Fincher movie, The Killer.
Yeah.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Priscilla, the new Sofia Coppola movie. How did I pronounce that? Yeah, about Priscilla Presley?
Yes. I'm not sure how to feel about that.
Well, I mean, I'll check it out when it comes out. But yeah, I don't have that much to say about it. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I don't have a lot to say about it either, other than, like, I don't know. I've seen a lot of these biopics about Elvis tend to ignore the fact that he was pretty much seeing grooming a 14-year-old. Like, They so like to glance over that fact, like that he was a creep. Like, even in the Elvis movie, it's like, oh, no, let's not talk about that.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels really gross to me.
Yeah. What else? There's the, oh God, there's the, there's the upcoming, Five Nights at Freddy's movie.
Okay, so look, I have a confession.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see it.
I'm glad you said it, because I also want to see it.
Yeah, okay, you good.
But if only for Matthew Lillard as William Afton.
So I have a soft spot for the franchise in terms of, like, it's like overly complicated lore. I think I enjoyed it.
I gave up on that franchise, like, after, I don't know, like, number three.
Yeah. Granted, this is not to endorse the beliefs and or donations from the creator, Scott Cawthorn, who is a right-wing douche.
Yeah.
If you don't feel like financially supporting the movie, don't do that. I don't recommend doing that. However, it is coming to Peacock, so... If you already have an account.
Yeah, I already have an account, so I'm probably going to see it then.
Yeah, so, it comes the same day as it does in theaters. So, do with that information what you will. And I don't think any of the people involved in creating the film itself share that, except for Scott. But again, it is a potential Harry Potter situation where if you don't want to support the franchise in any way, like at all, that's also valid to say fuck that. However, I do think there's a world of difference between J.K. Rowling and Scott Cawthorn.
If
that makes sense.
Yeah, I know what you're trying to say.
Yeah. I think it's a little bit more clear-cut with J.K. as opposed to Scott. But also, I feel that. I get it.
Yeah.
But I already subscribed to Peacock, so if it's free, I'm going to probably see it. And I think it looks kind of enjoyable in a... I don't know. Like, I'm not going to say it's going to be a great movie. But you're right, Matthew Lillard is great.
Yes. What else is there? There's the upcoming Eli Roth Thanksgiving movie.
Oh, he's finally making...
Yes, that is finally that. Coming out. Finally.
I hope he makes it good.
Yeah, what's funny is that Jazzy and I, when I was visiting her in June, we did a Tarantino marathon. And we did both the Grindhouse movies. And I saw all the mock trailers, and yeah, obviously one of those was for the Eli Roth Thanksgiving movie.
Mm.
And then I find out that movie is actually happening, and I'm like, oh, fuck yeah.
Do you think it's going to be like a parody, or do you think it's going to be straight, just typical slasher?
Hard to say. I mean, I guess we'll see when it comes out, but no matter what, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think the thing that's interesting about Grindhouse that I find fascinating is that, like, half of it feels like because they had so many directors working on it, it felt like half of them leaned into the making a parody of the Grindhouse style, while the other half tried to actually replicate the style. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
I feel like Tarantino and even Eli Roth, to an example, tried to emulate the style of the like 70s sort of films. Like, Death Proof is very much not really a parody. It feels like an homage, right? Yeah. While Planet Terror feels like a goofy comedy parody. Of it, right? Or like, right. Edgar Wright's Don't was totally a parody of that style, or even Rob Zombie's Werewolf Women of the SS was a total joke. Like, do you know what I'm getting at?
Yeah, I know what you're getting at.
Yeah, so I feel like the Grindhouse project is really fascinating because it feels like it's a hodgepodge of like people who like really want to emulate that style and other people who love the style but also wanted to make fun of it, you know. So I need to go back and watch it again. It was definitely a fascinating project.
Yes, it was. What else is there to go over? There's that new Hunger Games movie that's coming out, I guess. I mean,
I'm not really
that excited for it, because, like, I'm not a huge fan of the franchise, but, I mean, I'm glad Rachel Zegler's getting more work. I love her.
Yeah, Peter Dinklage.
And Peter Dinklage, too. And Viola Davis.
He's always great. Yeah. Did you see that Peter Dinklage is in a new kind of romantic comedy movie?
Yeah. Oh, and Hunter Schafer. Hunter Schafer's in that, too.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah.
She is.
Oh, shit. We have another big Peter Dinklage role.
We do, huh?
We got a huge one.
Mm-hmm.
The Toxic Avenger.
Ah, yes. How could I forget?
Have you seen The Toxic Avenger?
Years and years ago.
Okay. Need to rewatch that, because that movie is very funny. I am incredibly excited that he's playing Toxie.
Yes, me too. Peter Dinklage is a very talented actor, so I'm very excited.
I'm very curious the tone of the movie, too. Kevin Bacon's in it. Elijah Wood.
Yes.
Jacob Tremblay. I'm very curious.
Oh, by the way, speaking of Jacob Tremblay, Jazzy and I have promised each other that when the Little Mermaid remake drops on Netflix, we're going to watch it. I mean, I'm not Netflix, Disney Plus.
Currently playing at my theater in sing-along format.
What? Why? Why is it playing?
They did that for Cinema Day.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. I forgot about that. We're willing to submit ourselves to the torture of another live-action remake.
You mean to the masterpiece? The one that improves upon the original in every single way, right?
Yeah, of course that's what I mean. That's what The Lion King 2019 did, after all.
Yeah. That's why it's considered one of the greatest films of all time.
I mean, there's a reason it's the highest-grossing animated film of all time, right?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Ugh. Nah, I can't keep up that joke for much longer. Lion King 2019 is terrible, and everyone involved with it should feel bad.
But it's my favorite movie ever. Are you going to attack me for my favorite movie ever?
No, but I am going to leave the podcast. Goodbye.
Okay, thanks. Welcome back to a solo episode of Gals and Geekdom. Demon in the Corner, what do you have to say?
Plot twist. The demon in the corner was me the whole time.
Damn. Wait, no, there's two demons then.
The one that you've been acknowledging since the beginning, it was me the whole time.
This is some Kaiser Soze twist bullshit.
I've always been here.
No.
All right. Anyway, what else is there to go? There's a Trolls 3. That sure is a bunch of who cares.
Is that the third film?
Yes, that is the third film. Remember, the second film came out when the pandemic was happening in 2020.
Okay, because I never saw them, but I didn't want to see them because they killed my grandma.
Yeah. Because singing killed my grandma, okay? I will admit that that was a funny line.
Unintentionally funny.
Yes. Because singing killed my grandma, okay? I will also say that the second one had a cover of One More Time by Daft Punk, and I love that. You know how much I love Daft Punk.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a great cover. I loved it.
So you've seen them?
Yeah. The first, like, I don't hate the movies. Like, they're fine for kids, but I don't know. They're just not for me.
Are they in a similar vein to something like Sing, where it's kind of like,
yeah, it's harmless. Like, kids will like it, but
I enjoy the Sing movies just for the fact that they're kind of just fun covers of famous music, you know.
And plus, Taron Egerton doing I'm Still Standing was
great.
I'd like to think that that's what got him cast as Elton John in Rocket Man.
His voice was great. He did a great cover.
Yeah. So
that's why I like those movies, because they were pretty good.
Yeah. I guess I have Sing to thank for that, because Taron Egerton was great as Elton John.
That movie was great. I felt bad that movie got overshadowed by Bohemian Rhapsody, because I thought it was a much better movie.
No, Rocket Man is a way better movie.
Yeah, Rocket Man is a way better movie.
Oh, and by the way, to bring it all the way back to Oppenheimer, I'm hoping Oppenheimer outperforms Bohemian Rhapsody as the highest grossing biopic of all time.
Oh, yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, because Bohemian Rhapsody is biphobic as fuck.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
I mean, there's only one real great sequence. It's when they're recreating the Live Aid part. You know,
like Rami Malek. Like, I'll never hate Rami Malek. Like, he was good with what he was given.
I mean, yeah, he was good, and but he did what he could.
Oh my god!
It's the movie that's a problem, not him.
Like they seem to be confused as to who Freddie Mercury actually was, but okay.
Well, and then they rewrote history to try and, I don't know, I know the they tried to take some of the issues off of the band members and put them on to Freddie.
Yeah. I didn't really appreciate that.
Yeah, it was very much like the movie shows the rest of the band members as like, you know, innocent.
Yeah.
And then Freddie gets all the issues.
Yeah. And then he does gay shit, and then he becomes horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is why you need to think through your implications before you write the shit down.
Yeah. I know Sacha Baron Cohen wanted to do it. But his
well, I'm glad he didn't bullet dodge.
Yeah, do you think he would have been disrespectful?
No, like I don't fault like the actors. I just don't like the writing for that movie. Plus, it was made by a sex pest.
Oh no, I know what you're saying. I mean, there was an idea that Sacha Baron Cohen himself brought to the table. Before I even became Bohemian Rhapsody.
So, like, if it wasn't made by Bryan Singer, it probably would have been made by him? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, I think he had a concept for it that the band didn't like. Like, it was, like, this was in the years before, like, Bryan Singer or everyone else was definitely what involved with. Like, I know he talked about he wanted to do an R-rated film about it.
Yeah, but you were asking me, do you think he would have been disrespectful? Well, we'll never know. We'll never know, will we?
No, I just was curious, but yeah, he does. Yeah, We never know.
that's the thing. I don't know, and we will never know.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway.
But it is interesting. It's interesting either way. You know, that little tidbit.
It is. Yeah. What else is there to go over? Quite a few late November releases. We got Disney's Wish. Which, I don't know, I'm cautiously optimistic about.
I think, from what I heard, I think some people who saw parts of it, or at least said it was good.
So there's that. Also on the same day, we got Napoleon with Joaquin Phoenix, directed by Ridley Scott.
Do you think it's going to be really good, or do you think it's going to be, like, bad? Because I feel like those ambitious projects could be either.
Well, I mean, I don't really know, but at the same time, Joaquin Phoenix is one of my favorite actors working today, so I have no doubt that he'll give a good performance. Like, I have no doubt about that. Yeah. As for Ridley Scott, recently he can be, like, a bit of a mixed bag.
Yeah.
In terms of quality. Because, like, when you take a movie like The Counselor, that movie was terrible. And, like, there's no sugarcoating. That movie was terrible. And yes, that is a Ridley Scott movie.
Forgot about that one.
Mm-hmm.
Also, didn't House of Gucci get kind of mixed reception too?
It did, but I wouldn't say that it's as bad as as The Counselor.
Right.
Whatever. Okay. What else we got? There's Maestro with Bradley Cooper.
Oh, you mean the one where they put a prosthetic nose on his face?
Yeah. Regarding that, did it really have to be that big?
I mean, enough Jewish people have come forward to say that it's kind of utterly ridiculous that they did that. Like, it was a really, 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 really stupid call.
Like, when I watch the movie, like, I'll try my best to, like, not let that distract me, but...
It's on his face.
Ooh, boy!
I'm going to be looking at the whole movie just staring at his nose.
Which is not the reaction you want for your movie, Bradley.
No. No. So, yikes.
Yeah.
Was it really necessary?
This is the thing. The family came out with a statement and said, Leonard Bernstein had a big nose in real life, so it's fine. But when you look at a picture of Bradley Cooper as Leonard Bernstein and a picture of young Leonard Bernstein, the noses are nothing alike.
Yeah. Actually, regular Bradley Cooper nose would have been fine.
Yeah, like, we did not need the prosthetics.
Take into account that people also have issue with a non-Jewish person playing a Jewish role, so, that's a whole nother can of worms, though.
That's the thing, though. Like, some people had that issue with, Cillian Murphy as Oppenheimer, because Oppenheimer was Jewish.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, I haven't heard that many Jewish people complaining about it, or maybe I'm just not looking in the right places.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep my ear to the Jewish communities when they talk about about this stuff, because I am woefully not knowledgeable, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Like, they are more qualified to speak on this shit than I am.
Yeah, I'm not.
All right. What else? There's Saltburn, which looks interesting.
Oh, yeah. Do you see any trailers for that? Yes, I saw the new trailer for it. Looks really interesting.
Yes.
I'm not sure how to feel about it, but I'm intrigued, you know?
Poor Things. That looks pretty good.
Or Things. Which one's that one again?
That's the one with Emma Stone and Mark Ruffalo and Willem Dafoe.
Okay, I may have seen something about it. Oh, yeah, I saw the trailer.
Now that you're seeing... I'm guessing that you looked up pictures from it.
Yeah, I Googled the pictures. And I was like, oh, is that like really kind of surreal film?
Yes. All right. December is packed when it comes to shit from Warner Brothers. Like, I don't get... Are they wanting their stuff to flop? Like, I don't get it.
Yes.
Well, exceptions, of course, being Evil Dead Rise and Barbie. Because those movies didn't flop.
Well, because they're good.
Well, I mean, Blue Beetle's good, too, but that's flopping hard.
True. But anyway. It's a superhero movie. And I have noticed a sort of... I don't believe in the concept that superhero fatigue isn't really like an actual thing per se, because people like good movies. But I do notice that the biggest movies of the last 2 years have not been superhero films,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting. And
but when it comes to DC, like. They're doing this, the fact that they're doing this whole reset, like, goes to show that they're aware that they're not really taking the cinematic universe shit seriously.
Yeah.
But, cause the fact that, like, they're all flopping goes to show that the people just don't seem to care about DC shit outside of Batman. At least at this point in time.
Probably because of missteps. Lots of missteps.
Anyway, let's look at the films for December from Warner Brothers. Well, first off, we got Wonka, which I don't know how to feel about. Because for one thing, Timothy Chalamet as Willy Wonka. This is supposed to be the same... Willy Wonka that we saw in 1971's Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. But he does not have the same presence as Gene Wilder. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, he's acting more like the Wonka that we see in Tim Burton's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
A little bit.
A lot of it.
I feel like Chalamet's taking from both.
I mean, but there's also the fact that it's being co-written and directed by the guy who made Paddington. Both
Paddington movies are good.
Very, very good, as a matter of fact.
Huh.
So, I'm cautiously optimistic.
I don't know what to think.
Yeah. Neither do I.
Like, that trailer wasn't that great, but I didn't, like, hate it, you know?
I didn't hate it either, but at the same time, like...
Even though I kind of, like, rolled my eyes at the Oompa Loompa stuff, but, like, yeah.
Yeah, but I do wish they got actual dwarf actors to play Oompa Loompas instead of Hugh Grant.
But it's weird.
Whatever. before we go on to the other two Warner Brothers films, on Netflix, on the same day, we're going to get Chicken Run, Dawn of the Nugget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Mel Gibson's not back.
No, but he's being replaced by Zachary Levi. So they replaced one problematic actor with another problematic actor. but to be fair, Levi is less problematic than Gibson, at least at this point in time.
For now.
Yeah, for now.
For now.
I loved Chicken Run as a kid. Like, that's an animated film that I watched a lot when I was a kid.
Yeah, I like that movie a lot, too.
Yeah, and, you know, claymation is a style that doesn't really age, because all these years later, Chicken Run still looks great.
Well, because it's like a craft. You know what I mean? Like, there's like a tangible artistic quality to that.
Yes.
You know, because it's real. You know?
Yeah. I like Aardman's dedication to this style.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
They seem to care.
They do. All right. Second Warner Brothers movie of December is Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. Look, the first Aquaman was a ton of fun, but it wasn't that great.
That was fine.
I think we can all agree on that.
It was fine. Yeah.
So I'm expecting this second one to be more of the same in that department. But there's nothing wrong with that, because I liked the first Aquaman.
So, I mean, yeah, harmless fun.
Yes. All right. And then the third one is, of course, The Color Purple.
What do you think of it?
Okay. So from what I understand, this isn't going to be just like a remake of the 80s film. This is going to be an adaptation of the musical adaptation of The Color Purple, which I can get behind fully.
It looked interesting. The trailer looked pretty good.
Yes, it did.
As long as the music is actually like, as long as the music is like good, you know?
Well, from what I understand, the stage adaptation was pretty good, and this is supposed to be bringing that to celluloid, so.
That's good.
Yeah. All right.
What
are the movies we got coming out this month? I already mentioned Rebel Moon.
Yeah.
There's also Ferrari, the new Michael Mann movie with Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz and Shailene Woodley.
Yep. And also fun to bring up the concept, the idea that Neon actually is meeting demands of the SAG, and the actors are allowed to promote their film in that one for that reason.
Yep. Not to mention A24 is also allowed to continue making movies because they agreed to SAG's demands.
Yep. Weird that the smaller ones are willing to do it. Huh.
Yeah. The smaller ones are willing to do it. Why can't the bigger ones agree to do it? It's because they're greedy as fuck.
Yeah.
They're really gonna prolong the strike. Just because they don't want to pay their actors and writers properly.
Yeah. Dumbasses.
All right.
Ferrari looks good.
Yes, Ferrari does look good.
And I like Adam Driver. So.
Well, I mean, who doesn't
like him in movies? That's true.
That is all the rest of the movies of the year that I wanted to talk about. But when it comes to Adam Driver, putting aside Star Wars, like, if you've seen Marriage Story, if you haven't seen it, you should go see it. But if you have, then you will know that he was phenomenal in that movie.
Also thought he was great in Black Klansman.
Yes, he was great in that too.
Which you should see if you haven't either.
No,
so I've seen Marriage Story. And I'm talking to our audience.
Oh, okay.
Audience, if you haven't seen Black Klansman, go see that.
All right. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
There's something I had in my mind, and I'm trying to think of what it was. I've been binging through Regular Show. I like it. Never saw it before.
You never saw Regular Show?
No, it was when it was out, I was kind of in an age where I wasn't really paying attention to like Cartoon Network shows, you know? And so it kind of blew past me. So I have HBO and I'm watching it and I really like it. There's a lot of like really fun references that I catch that I think other people would miss.
Gotcha.
Because I know movies. Like, there's a scene when they're in a movie theater, and the movie is literally the fake movie from the Pee-wee's Big Adventure, if you remember that scene.
Vaguely.
Okay, so yeah, Pee-wee's Big Adventure at the end of that movie, spoiler from a movie from the 80s, they make a movie about Pee-wee's, kind of about Pee-wee's life a little bit, but, like, they hire, like much, like, stronger people to play the action star version of, like, Pee-wee, and Pee-wee has a cameo in that movie where he's a bellhop, and so there's a whole scene where he's in the background, and his voice is replaced by another actor with a deeper voice. It's really funny. But in regular show, there's a scene where the character's at a movie theater, and what's on the screen is quite literally that scene. A little bit of changes, but it's very much, it's obviously taking a riff from that scene. I'm just like, oh wow, okay. This show likes to make references.
Yeah.
So that's fun. But with that in mind, I think we got to a good stopping point for this week. Next time we will have, our schedules are all weird, so we always try and like schedule things, but next time I will try to get us some guests. I have some people that I've been talking to, so that'll be fun. Ashley, do you want to plug where the good people can find you?
Yes, you can find me at Ashley Groovy on Twitter. I refuse to call it X. Twitter and Blue Sky. Sweater. You can also find me on Letterboxd at Ashy/22. Crystal?
My name is Crystal Williams. You can follow me on Twitter at Crystal W. Rocks. I also have a link tree in my bio over there, and you can find all my other links, including my Medium, which has my articles that you can read about stuff and things. And you can donate to us, so please do that. With that being said, thank you everybody for listening to another episode of the Galaxy Geekdom podcast. We love you everybody.
Bye bye.
Goodbye.
Bye bye bye.